Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desatarane Om Agyanati Mahandasya Gyanagyana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So just to notice that there are monkeys here, so if you have anything that needs to be sort of in your care and protection, just keep it very close to you. So during the kirtan, which was so nice, thank you, Sri Radharaman Prabhu, and sitting here with a little sun, a little warmth, and these beautiful desire trees, kalpa vriksha trees, and the sarovara behind us, Narayan Sarovara, I was just thinking every now and again, I opened my eyes and I watched those little children. I think everybody had an experience of them. As they, according to their natures, they moved from person to person, hoping for something. And sometimes maybe they were a little insistent, and some of them were a little respectful, but they were just, please, you can give me something. And then they were all here, and one other one came, you would not have seen, came from behind, and with a few Brajabasi gestures, which is a with the head and the hands, a little movement, he indicated to them that there was a better opportunity over there. And so they very respectfully left us for a while, and they wandered off somewhere else. And I was looking at them, and I was thinking, now, the pilgrims were walking out behind you, and they were standing on either side like dignitaries, walking with them, and they were a little bit, you know, their hands were out, expecting something. And I thought, why do they expect something? And I thought, it's because they live here. They live here. And they know, somehow or another, they know that this is actually significant, because people come here, and when people come and they live here, they feel naturally, you've come here, you appreciate this place, I live here, you want to please give me something. And then I was thinking, why don't we just sort of like give them everything that they want? And it's because they have more and more desires. Look behind you over there at those two monkeys. Look at them, how fast they're eating those chickpeas. You see that? They're going boo 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 with two hands. So that's what we're like. That's what our mind is like. So we're sitting here chanting, but the mind tends to wander. And it wanders around, and the thoughts are kind of like the monkeys. They jump around, think of this, think of that. I wish I had this. Wish that was like that. So much so that we're not exactly even aware of it. It just more or less goes on by itself. And as I was looking at those children and thinking, they are fortunate. They usually won't give us any trouble, they'll just give each other trouble. And they're quite accurate when they fight. They don't usually disturb us. So probably no need to be too scared. But this is Braj. You have to have these things, you see. You get a little scared, you get a little excited, you get a little annoyed, somebody bothers you, something happens to you that inconveniences you. And all of this together in a flow makes up life here in Vrindavan. It makes up life anywhere. But the difference between here and any other place is that here in the atmosphere itself, in the air, in the ether, in the dirt, everywhere, there's something to do with Krishna in everything. Even the monkeys, the dogs, the children, the irritations, everything. There's something to do with Krishna. And just like if you have a big pot of milk, you cannot see, when you look at the milk, you cannot see the butter. But the whole pot of milk is permeated with butter. And if you know how to churn in the right way, you can separate the butter, and you can use the butter as you like. So similarly, it is that Krishna permeates everything here. And if you know how to churn properly, you can see his presence in every unusual, funny, peculiar, bizarre thing that takes place here. And this is unlike any other place in the world. It's not that there aren't great places in this world. It's not that there aren't wonderful temples in this world, even in India. And it's not that there aren't other dharms in this world. Thank you. It's not that there aren't other holy places in this world. There are. But each one of them is saturated with their own particular significant flavor. And no other place in the world is saturated with Krishna. No other place. Yes, Mathura is saturated with Krishna, but Radha is not there. And then you can go to Dwarka, and if you like Dwarka Leela, Krishna is there, but Vrindavan is not there. So Vrindavan is just its own unique special tattva. We can say it's better, it's worse, it's the best, but that's just a question of quality of heart or one's affection for the place. But in reality, Vrindavan is the place of Krishna. And Krishna, oh no. And Krishna never leaves here. You never can desaturate him out of the atmosphere. So if you want to find him, you have to think about him while you're here. You have to pray to him while you're here. That I've come here, I've come all the way here from somewhere. And I won't be here very long, only a few days. And my mind, at least your minds, if your minds are like my mind is wandering back all the time to something else that I was thinking of or wanted to do or did do. And I have to keep, like, as Satchinandan Swami was saying, before you can connect, you have to disconnect. I have to recognize, oh, I've gone away, and bring back and connect to the fact that I'm here in Vrindavan. So I brought you all here, or you kindly came here, to Peta. The first Vrindavan VIHE, Mahabhagavat can tell me, I think it was the first we came to Peta. Yeah. Did you make a recording?
I think so.
Ah, I would like to hear that sometime. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the very first time we did the VIHE, we had at that time we had one day's prikram every year. So we had 5 days of classes and 1 day of prikrama. It was good, because it's nice to come out here and just relax and just get the dust all over you and the feeling of the place. So I was thinking today, more or less, I kind of didn't want to fill you with a lot of information. I give you some little insightfulness into the pastimes of this place. But mostly I just wanted you to come out here and be here. And look around you. Don't feel afraid to look around you and look at the odd things that are happening. And try to see how somehow or another Krishna is telling you things through those things. Do you know something, Abhishek? He lives here. You don't. You see? We're just like that. We think, I've come here, I'm sitting here. Where is this dog? Get rid of this dog. What is this dog doing here? What are these children doing bothering us? But actually, we're the ones that are coming, and they're the ones that live here. So we have to become very, very humble when we come into Vrindavan. And come into Vrindavan with the gratefulness that I'm even here at all. I don't deserve to be here. I don't have any big profile that means that I can come to Vrindavan whenever I want. I don't know when I'll come to Vrindavan again. I've been blessed. I've been invited. So thank you. So coming to Peta for me was like, I haven't been here since 2001, that's 13 years. And I was struggling after I had made a commitment to visiting this place to remember what was it that brought me here in 2001 that I insisted that we should all come to Peta. What was it that was alive in me in that time that 13 years later I've forgotten? I can pick up a book, I can read some notes and share with you some information. But at that time there was something that was very alive that I said, I have to go to this place. So the last couple of days I've been praying all the time whenever I could remember, or lying in bed and trying to ask, what was it that brought me to this place? Now, don't give them sweets. As soon as you give them sweets, you do the greatest disservice to everyone. No, not in the middle of a class. She's not harassing anyone. She's asking, but once you give her something, then she's going to harass. You have to become very intelligent here. You give them sweets after, when you're leaving, but not in the middle of something, because somebody else sees she has, they tell somebody else, there's a few more over there, a few more over there. It's a village, it goes all around. And before you know it, you have everybody here. So an act of charity or goodness, when it's performed at the wrong time, has a contradictory effect. So we don't know what to do. You're doing something and you realize after, I didn't realize what I was doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And when we come to Vrindavan, we should remember that all the time. I actually don't know what I'm doing here. I just somehow or other got to come here. And so I keep my head down and I pray a lot. Thank you, thank you. I actually don't understand this culture. Thank you. And when we see somebody else maybe make a mistake, we say, thank you, because you've shown me the mistake that I would have made the next moment. So thank you, you're teaching me, you're teaching me, you're teaching me at every moment. And this is the mood of a devotee. I'm learning, I'm just a learner. So the obvious pastime that this place is significant for is, as I was telling you inside. Let me read it to you from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. During the season of springtime, when the rasa dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicating that he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass by. But while he was sitting, the gopis arrived there like a phalanx of soldiers. Just see, the gopis said, seeing Krishna from the distance. Here within a bush is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. As soon as Krishna saw all the gopis, he was struck with emotion. He could not hide himself, and out of fear, he became motionless. Then Krishna assumed his four-armed Narayan form and sat there. When all the gopis came, seeing him, they spoke as follows. They said, he is not Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. He's not Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Krishna to them was not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was much, much more than that. He was not less than that. He was more than that. He was everything to them. He was their total, complete, fixated meditation in love. They were always thinking of him from the morning to the night. When they went to sleep, they were constantly thinking of him. So how could he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He was their very life. After saying this, they offered respectful obeisances with the following prayers. O Lord Narayan, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please be merciful to us and give us the association of Krishna, and thus vanquish our lamentation. After saying this, they offered their respects and they left. They just wandered away looking for Krishna again. When Srimati Radharani came and appeared before Krishna, Krishna saw her and he wanted to maintain his forearm form to joke with her. In front of her, Krishna tried his best to keep his forearms, but he was completely unable to do so. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come to his original two-armed form. Now, I was looking for this in my endeavor to prepare. I was trying to find this pastime looking through our Vedabase. I knew it was in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And for those who are students of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the Adi Leela gives all the philosophy, theology of Lord Chaitanya, who he is, what is his appearance in this world, the Panchatattva, Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, the whole tree of Lord Chaitanya's followers is all in there. And then there's a quick summary of his childhood pastimes, because Vrindavan Das Thakur has already told all of these pastimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Krishna Das Kaviraj summarizes them because we need a continuity. We've heard who he is theologically. Now we need to know he was born here, he grew up here, his mother was this, his father was that, and so forth. And there are 17 chapters in the Adi Leela. Then comes the Madhya Leela. And the Madhya Leela starts when Lord Chaitanya leaves Navadvip and he finishes his pastimes of Sankirtan there with his friends by accepting sannyas. And this was an extremely shocking, devastating time for all of the devotees who were in Navadvip, because he disappeared. He asked permission of one or two people. Not many. Secretly, he told a few people that he was about to leave. And they themselves went into a deep state of horror at the thought that he would do this. And then, at the end of night, just at the beginning of morning, when the day arrived, he left from his house. And he went straight to the Ganga and he took a boat across the Ganga. And from the other side of the Ganga, with a few selected friends, he went to Katwa. And in Katwa, he met with Bharati Maharaj, Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And he told him, "Shave, cut my hair." And everybody said, "No, you can't do this. You can't take sannyas." He was only 24 years old. He was very innocent and so beautiful. They said, "You can't take sannyas. What will happen to your mother? She only has you to take care of her." This was the lady speaking, by the way. Everybody else also was very grave. But Keshava Bharati Maharaj eventually agreed to give Lord Chaitanya sannyas. And the Baba, you know, there was a barber, he had to cut his hair. No one would do it. No one could do it because his hair was like one of the most wonderful embellishments of Lord Chaitanya, one of the most beautiful parts of his body. And they called a barber, another barber, no one would do it. And finally one barber agreed. And he would make one cut and then he would cry. And then he would cut a little bit more and then he would cry. And it took him a long time to cut all of Lord Chaitanya's hair. And as his hair fell to the ground, those ladies who had said, "You cannot take sannyas," they wailed and cried, thinking of his mother. And that barber, do you know, after he finished cutting Lord Chaitanya's hair, he said, I will never be able to cut anybody's hair again. He gave up his barber work. And do you know what he became? He became a sweet maker, because his hands had become so sweet by touching Lord Chaitanya's hair that for the rest of his life he made sweets instead of cutting hair. So then Lord Chaitanya, in his madness, his ecstasy of where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Because this is what had caused him to leave. He wanted to go and find Krishna. So he wandered here and there, and Lord Nityananda wandered behind and directed him in a very clever way towards the Ganges. And he had arranged, he'd sent a man to tell a Dvaitacharya, bring a boat. And he was fooling Lord Chaitanya, who was in half inner and half outer consciousness. You know how somebody is, or yourselves, we get a bit sleepy? Have you had this experience and you're on the computer or something and you're going, do, 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 do. And then you go, oh, and you do. This is called half inner, half outer consciousness. And when you're asleep, you're in inner consciousness, or outer consciousness. And when you're awake, you're aware of the world around you. So Lord Chaitanya was only half aware of what was going on. And so Lord Nityananda utilized this state of mind to direct him to the Ganga, telling him he was on his way instead to Vrindavan. Because he wanted to go to Vrindavan, and he couldn't go to Vrindavan at that time. And finally, Advaitacharya came. They took him across the Ganga to his house, and he took his first meal as a sannyasi in Advaitacharya's house. And all the residents of Navadvip were called, Mother Sachi. Everybody came, and she got to see him one more time. It wasn't the last time, but it was as if it was the last. And after Lord Chaitanya, he had accepted his mother's cooking, everyone was having kirtan as it was before, except for the fact that he had a shaved head, which means that everyone could understand he's a sannyasi now. And after some days, he indicated that it was his desire that he should proceed with his journey. And he spoke with his mother, and he bowed down to her. And he apologized to her and said, I have made a great mistake. I have done a very, very, very unfortunate thing. I should never have done this. I am yours. I should never have taken sannyas. This is the beauty of this indirect Vedic culture. Please, he said, now, I am yours. Tell me what I should do. He had already done it. So she thought, and just as he was speaking for her well-being, he was not saying, listen, you know, I had to do this. It's like really important to me. I hope you'll be okay. I'm sure everything, you know, people will take care of her. I'm going now. He maintained the love in the relationship in such a charming way, because this was pure love, not our love on our level. This is pure transcendental love. So he maintained that. And she maintained from her side her sense of what was best for him. And it was not best for him to stay in the village. Everyone would talk. He's a sannyasi. And he's staying here with his mother. What is this? And that would have caused her so much pain to see him being criticized. So she said that it would be my pleasure. For my pleasure, you should stay here. But it will not be pleasing. So therefore, instead, if you go to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri, it's like these two states are adjacent, and you can actually take an overnight train nowadays from Calcutta. You go from Calcutta, and you wake up in the morning, and you're right there at the end of the terminal in Jagannath Puri. So it was only some weeks of walking, because they didn't go by train. And she said, if you stay there, It's so close to here. People come and go all the time. I'll get to hear about you. And you won't be so far away that I don't know where you are. And so Lord Chaitanya accepted his mother's order, and he made Jagannath Puri his base for the next 24 years. 24 years Navadvip, 24 years in Jagannath Puri. But still he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But as a true sannyasi, as a strict sannyasi, first he traveled from Puri through South India. He went all the way round and he came all the way back to Puri. And this took some years. He did that as soon as he arrived in Puri. And the only person who could try and stop him, because there were not many devotees of his present at that time, was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who tried to trick him in different ways to get him not to leave, to go to South India, because he was so all-attractive that once you had his company, you just didn't want to leave him to leave for anything. But he left. He went first of all to a place called Alalanath. And then from Alalanath, he left on his South India tour. He toured all the way round. And when he came to a place called Vishakhapatnam, on the bank of the Godavari, I think, yes, there he met with somebody who Sarvabhauma had told him, you must meet this one person. He said, previously I was not a Vaishnava and I did not understand the value of this Vaishnava. But now that I am, I understand that you must meet this one person. Please. And so Lord Chaitanya went there and he met Srila Ramananda Roy there. After they had talked for many days, Lord Chaitanya requested him, please come and stay with me permanently in Puri. Ramananda Roy was a governor, but he immediately resigned from his position and he made his way towards Puri, arriving soon after Lord Chaitanya, which was going to take a few years. Then Lord Chaitanya, so many devotees came, so many people came, a very, very large following appeared in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya stayed there and he tried to go to Vrindavan. And when he tried to go to Vrindavan, everybody wanted to go with him. And even Gadadhar Pandit, who had taken a vow, he had taken a vow never to leave Jagannath Puri because he was worshipping Tota Gopinath. And he had been given Kshetra Sannyas, that he should stay in that place. But when Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, even Gadadhar Pandit just said, let my sannyas go to hell. I don't care about anything. I'm going with you. And he followed behind. Lord Chaitanya didn't approve. But Gadadhar Pandit's mood of love, he didn't care. And he got as far as Cuttack, which was where the king sometimes resided. It's a big town, and he near to Bhubaneswar. And there Lord Chaitanya crossed a river and left Gadadhar Pandit on the other side and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as well. And he went on from there. But he didn't go to Vrindavan. He ended up going to Navadvip. And when he was in Navadvip, he was so attractive. So many people came to see him. So many people following him that they also wanted to go with him to Vrindavan. And one devotee who was very, very deep in meditation, just imagine his power of meditation was so great that he was meditating a road for Lord Chaitanya to walk on. He was meditating flowers that would be falling on the road before Lord Chaitanya's steps as he was walking along. He was meditating sitting places so Lord Chaitanya would have somewhere to sit as he was moving forward. He was meditating places to sleep as he was proceeding. And he was continuously meditating and meditating in such an intense trance. And all of a sudden, he opened his eyes And he told everybody, he's not going to Vrindavan. What? He left for Vrindavan. He's not going to Vrindavan. How do you know he's not going to Vrindavan? He said, because my meditation couldn't go any further than this place. Kanaya Nachala. I could not go past that point. With all my power, I could not go past. He will not go past that point. What an extraordinary mood of love these devotees have. These are not ordinary devotees. I say ordinary in a non-disrespectful way when I talk about ourselves, because we're aspiring to become devotees. We're hoping to become good devotees one day. But these are Krishna's eternal associates. They have no impurity, no imperfection, no conditional ego, and nothing. So they're acting on the pure spiritual platform, backwards and forwards with him, out of love. And when we hear about them, even if we're hearing about them over and over and over, and we think, I've heard this before, still that hearing is actually the process to cleanse away from our heart the darkness that disallows us to actually understand our relationship with him. Lord Chaitanya got to the place where Rupa and Sanatan reside, called Ramakeli. And there he was surrounded by people. But this was very dangerous because the Nawab, or the Muslim leader of the whole of West Bengal, his palace was there. And Rupa and Sanatan were very frightened because he was ferocious. And this is a religious person, and here is a person who is a very fierce, dominating political personality. He may do anything. He's unpredictable. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't afraid, but Rupa and Sanatan particularly, he went in disguise to Lord Chaitanya, and he gave him some advice. He said to him, my lord, after speaking many other things, he said, this is not the proper way to go to Vrindavan. You should not go to Vrindavan surrounded by so many people and such a fanfare and so forth, because Vrindavan is an internal place. So you should go to Vrindavan by yourself. And Lord Chaitanya took this very seriously, and he thanked him so much. And he went up a little further to Kanaya Nachala, then he turned back and he returned to Jagannath Puri. And the residents of Jagannath Puri were so happy, he's not going to Vrindavan. But still in his mind, he was waiting, waiting, waiting to go to Vrindavan. And then he waited one more season. The residents of Bengal all came for the Rath Yatra and the Dol Yatra, the whole festival season. And when they were leaving, he told everybody, now I am going to Vrindavan. And this time, they realized he was serious. He said, please don't try to trick me anymore. I am going to Vrindavan, and I am going alone. And they thought, and they said to him, you should have one person with you to carry your water pot and your everything else that you need to carry, your danda, everything you should carry. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'm going alone. And then they recommended people. And he said, basically, if you put it into our language, he said, if I take him, I'll have to talk to him all the time. And if I take him, then everybody's going to get envious of him. And they're going to be all thinking, why didn't he take me? So I can't take him, I can't take him. And he dismissed everybody. I can't take him, he talks too much, he's too strict, he's always bothering me. He dismissed all of them. And then they said, here is a new person. Here, nobody knows him very well, but we know him. He's very, very, very well behaved. And they described this brahmana and said, you won't ever have to talk to him. He'll never disturb you. Please take him. And Lord Chaitanya agreed. And then, what did he do? He set off in the early morning when nobody was awake. He set off for Vrindavan. And as we hear Sachinandan Swami is telling us, when from a distance Lord Chaitanya would think of Vrindavan, his ecstasy would increase. And when he was walking towards Vrindavan, his ecstasy became even higher. And when he set foot in Vrindavan, his ecstasy went even higher. And when he went to the different intimate pastime places of Radha and Krishna, his ecstasy went a million times higher. Because this is Krishna. Krishna coming back to Vrindavan. But it's Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And what is the mood of Srimati Radharani? It is the mood that she felt when Krishna left Vrindavan. When Krishna left, then Srimati Radharani's ecstasies went extraordinarily high as well. In separation from Krishna, she was practically almost not breathing, lying down on the ground. Her clothes were covered in the dust of Vrindavan. She was not bathing or eating or sleeping or chatting or being with her friends. She was practically unconscious. And all of her friends were staying around her trying to think of something to say to keep her alive. And we would think, because we're young devotees, beginner devotees, aspiring devotees, or at least I should be more honest and say, I used to think, which is a much more honest way of saying it, I used to think, that sounds morbid. That sounds miserable. I don't think I would like that. I would like everything to be all happy and everything going nicely and Krishna's there, he smiles at me, he draws a bit, I get a bit of special attention and then I could do a little seva here and there and if I was tired I could take a little nap and then after some time I could do some more seva. Hey! And I would be thinking of me. Right, and how much I would enjoy Vrindavan. And here's Srimati Radharani, she's the emblem of love and she's lying on the ground lifeless, almost dead. It wouldn't have fitted into my infrastructure of what I hope to achieve by chanting Hare Krishna. Like, and when you're talking about the top, I'd be, wait, hang on, this is at the top? This sounds like it's at the bottom. The top should be up. But this is because we haven't got the qualification to enter into an understanding of what she was experiencing as she was lying there, her body was lying there, lusterless, covered in dust. But she herself was experiencing heightened states of ecstasy in exchange and love with Krishna. And even Krishna had no way to experience what she experienced because he was the object of her love. Just like I can see that camera, right? I'm looking at the camera. It's the object of my vision. But I cannot see what the camera is seeing of me. Because for me to see what the camera is seeing of me, I'd have to be there and looking this way, but I'm looking this way. So it's like that. Krishna is here, Radha is here. They're looking at each other. They're seeing each other. They're not seeing the same thing. So Krishna was thinking of her. And he wanted to understand the incredible depth of her love for him. And this is why he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to taste the love that she was experiencing for him. He wanted to understand what was so special about himself that she was feeling this way. And he wanted to experience the happiness that came from her experience of love. And for these three reasons, Krishna could not have these three things. They were the property of Srimati Radharani. They're the property of her. He can't take them because they're inherent in her. And he's he and she's she. This is extraordinary. And so he decided he wanted to experience. And so then he had to go and learn what it was like. Krishna had to beg for these transcendental experiences from Srimati Radharani and the gopis themselves. And Srila Ramananda Roy, being a Vishakha Devi in Krishna's pastimes, was the first teacher to teach him how he should proceed if he wanted to enter into the deep mood of ecstasy of Radharani. So when Lord Chaitanya came back from his South Indian tour, he entered into the Gambhira. And Gambhira means very deep, something very deep. And that was where Lord Chaitanya stayed for the rest of his time in Puri. And in that Gambhira, a little room under some stairs in the house of the Kazi Mishra, who was the king's guru, he stayed there, and through the day he would interact with people. And in the night, when everyone else is asleep, throughout the night he didn't sleep. He didn't need sleep, like we need sleep, but he didn't need sleep. He stayed up throughout the night, and all of his meditation was on, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Can you tell me where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This was his constant question. Where is Krishna? But he is Krishna. But he isn't Krishna. Because in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna combined. Radha on the outside, golden complexion, and inside is Krishna. But he has the heart, the sentiments of Radha. So this is a very extraordinary subject matter. And the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is like it's just like something so exquisite. In any kind of with any kind of object, like say you have a jewel, you have a small crystal, you have a ruby, you have this, you have that. If you have a drink in alcohol, there are certain alcohols, they're very toxic and very potent, and you just drink them down. And then you go and you find that there's one quality of liqueur, and it's in a tiny bottle. And this drink is so exquisite. It's made in such a way. And this jewel is so priceless. It's cut and carved in such a way. It comes from a special place. It's set in a special way. It's exquisite. It's like on the top, the Siramani, or the topmost quality jewel. So Krishna's pastimes, as Lord Chaitanya has described in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that Chaitanya Chaitamrita is like that exquisite jewel of literatures. And I say in my own experience, it took me years and years and years before I could actually even enter in. For myself, we used to do puppet shows for children. When we were young devotees, we used to teach children, and I used to make puppet shows. So my husband would find one of the leelas, the leelas from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. We would read it, we would make little puppets, and I appreciated Lord Chaitanya in that way. But I could not penetrate the Adi Leela, all the theology and philosophy, and I thought, this is too much for me, I can't understand this book. But by the mercy of staying in Vrindavan, touching the dust, serving the deities, praying, wishing to somehow or other make some advancement, hoping against hope that it may one day happen, slowly, slowly, slowly it does happen. And as it slowly happens, all of a sudden something that was like impenetrable, now it seems like, oh, that would be a good thing for me to study or look at now. Myself, personally, I never studied in a VIHE or in a systematic way. I always had responsibilities, practical things with children or family or something else. So I never read these books in a systematic way for a very, very long time. But I read something here and something there and something here. And it gradually was like putting all the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle on the table. And the more pieces there were on the table, one day you feel like, ah, look, this goes with that and that goes with this. And you start to put the pieces together. And in my own case, I had the good fortune that twice a year while we were living in Vrindavan, we had to support ourselves. And in those days, it was so cheap to live in Vrindavan that all we would do is my husband would send me to Jagannath Puri and I would spend 3 or 4 or 5 days there buying saris. Buy a whole bunch of saris, 2 bags worth of saris. It was very easy because you get on the train and you wake up, you know, 2 days later in Jagannath Puri. You don't have to worry where to get off. So simple. And come back with the bags. And someone would come for the 2 festivals yearly and we would give them the bags. They'd take them back to America, sell them, send us some money. And in this way, Krishna arranged a very, very simple way for us to financially survive. And so when I would go to Jagannath Puri, I started a process, which was that I would start summarizing. I didn't understand or need to understand, but I summarized the Chaitanya Chaitamrita into a, you know, an exercise book. And sometimes I'd sit for a few hours just summarizing it, and then I'd go to the next story and summarize that. And that summary ended up being like an appendix that would help me to enter into the continuity of these all these multi-volumes of Chaitanya Chaitamrita. But it was an ongoing, long-term hobby, so to speak. So, but gradually it became clear that Lord Chaitanya is actually Krishna, and his mood is actually the mood of the gopis. And when he comes to Vrindavan, the reason he cannot stay in Vrindavan, you notice they take him out very quickly. He only stays a short time in Vrindavan. The reason he can't stay here is because when he comes here, his Krishna-ness comes out. And everybody recognizes him. It's Krishna. And he can't enter into what he really wants to do, which is to taste this inner mood. To taste this inner mood of separation, he can't be in Vrindavan. He has to be far away in Jagannath Puri. Thinking, oh, Vrindavan, I just want to be in Vrindavan. There has to be an obstruction if you want your bhakti to go very high. If you think, oh, yes, I can do that today, tomorrow, whenever, which is what the mind will say, then our Krishna consciousness, it advances very slowly. But when we find we are obstructed, and the best and the greatest obstructions are right here within ourselves. Within our own consciousness, we have most of the major obstacles to overcome. So as we pray to overcome these things and make some spiritual advancement, then we gradually feel more and more and more, I need more Krishna in my life. There's a gap now because a whole bunch of other things seem to have moved. So now I have somewhere to put some more Krishna in my life. And if you keep putting more Krishna in your life, you know what happens. You start to get a lot of Krishna in your life. So Lord Chaitanya, I don't know if he came here to Peta. We can ask Sachinandan Swami because he is sharing with us Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan. But this temple is said to date back, not this building, but these deities. And if it's not these particular stone deities, deities here of Chaturbhuj Narayan, a deity of Chaturbhuj Narayan was installed here soon after Krishna left this planet by his great-grandson Vajranab. He went all over Braj with a person called Sandilya Muni, and together they established all the places where Krishna's activities took place. But that was 5,000 years ago. And you look, if you see here on the side of the building, even though it's nicely painted, you can see where the mortar has, the render has become washed away, and you can see the brick, and you wait another 25 years and the brick will start to erode as well. So that's only 25, 50 years. How about 500 years? Will this building be looking like this? And then you take 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years. And all the places of Krishna's pastimes, gradually, gradually, they disappeared. And then, as Maharaj was explaining to everyone in his class, it was Narayan Bhatta Goswami who came here and wandered all over Braj. And through his meditation, he relocated many of these pastime places. And he either re-established deities or established new deities in these places of Krishna's pastimes. And if it wasn't for him, we would not know. We'd be walking around here, just like you look out there, there's agricultural fields. And if nobody was here, there was no temple, you would just look and you could say, oh, it looks nice here, there's a village, there's this, there's that, a few dogs and some noisy children. That's all I would see. And when you go home, all you would be able to say was, I saw some dogs and some villagers and some children. And you'd be like the average Indian tourist, Western tourist to India. They come and they feel very satisfied to see the culture of India, but they have very little access to the spiritual culture of India, unless they're fortunate enough to have a guide who can allow them to enter into what is the significance of this building, what is the significance of this water, what took place here, what happened there. And this is the mercy of our six Goswamis and Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who were contemporary, and their excavation of this transcendental land of Vrindavan. And so we come here today. We're just taking the day off from our classes, having a little bit of a break, an alternative to sitting in the classroom. And I will stop very shortly speaking and allow you just some time to sort of take in the atmosphere here, just to wander around, if you will, or sit and chant. Are we meant to have something to eat here? No. Okay, good. All right. And in this way, just to familiarize yourself with this place on the outer level, but understanding that this place has a great significance on the internal level, on the spiritual level as well. Now let me share with you, as I said, I was looking for this part of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. I thought it was in the Antya Lila because it's a very intimate pastime of Krishna and the gopis dancing. And I never expected it was in the Adi Lila, but somehow I was directed there and I found it. And this particular chapter, the last 17th chapter of the Adi Lila, Krishna Das Kaviraj, as he's fond of doing, he quickly summarizes all the chapters of the Adi Lila that he has just written. And then he says, at the end, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are wonderful and unlimited. If anyone hears or describes any part of those pastimes, hears or describes, they will very soon receive the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I think that we're all should be sitting here looking. You know that game, what's it called, Drop the Hanky? Has anyone heard, you know that game? Maybe it's not an Indian game. But we used to play it when I was young. You sit in a circle, children, they sit in a circle, and one person is the one on the outside of the circle, and they walk around behind all the children's back, and of course you watch them when they're going around this area, but then they're going to go behind your back as well, and somewhere they drop a little piece of cloth. And you have to keep looking to see if it's behind you, because if it's behind you, then you have to jump up with this piece of cloth and run all the way around and sit down again before they run all around and sit in your seat. And if they sit in your seat, then you have to take the hanky and you have to go around like that. So we should all be a little like that, kind of looking behind us to see if Lord Chaitanya has somehow or another followed his promise and given us a little bit of his undeserved, causeless mercy, because we have heard something of his pastimes here at Peta. Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions? If anyone has any questions on any subject, I'd be happy to speak with you. Lalita.
I understand to some degree, but if you could elaborate, why would he reject Maharaj Pratapudra and embrace Ramanand Rai? Externally, they are both kingly.
Yes. A king is higher than a governor. And it's not that when he met Ramananda Roy, he had come to learn from him. So he ignored all formalities in that particular situation. And they spoke very confidentially. It wasn't as if he went to visit him in his royal palace, or he came. Ramananda Roy didn't come all in his royal wear. He came dressed as a Vaishnava. So he met him as a Vaishnava. But with the king, he had to show the example, because he's a sannyasi. And the culture was very strict at that time. So he increased Maharaj Prataparuda's desire to see him more and more and more. Like I was saying, when there's an obstacle, it increases something. It increases one's eagerness. So he, out of his favor for Maharaj Prataparuda, he chose to act in that way. There's no formula in love. Let me share with you one really interesting experience I had with Sri Radharaman Prabhu, and then we have to stop. We were in Jagannath Puri one year, and it was the summer season. So the summer means there was no rain. We used to walk backwards and forwards in the afternoon with a group of devotees to a particular temple or another temple, past a, down a street which was houses on either side, and it had a deep gutter. So we'd walk along, and then we'd come back. And one day we were walking and I saw that the road was flooded. There was water on the road, and because it's gutter water, I started walking around it very consciously to avoid that dirty water. And then I thought, hang on, how come the road is flooded with water? It's the middle of summer and there's no water in the gutter. Where did the water come from? And I looked at the gutter and it was flooded. It was pouring out on the road. And I thought, what is this? And so I was really intrigued. And we were walking along, walking along, walking along to where we were going. And at one point, I saw that there was a gutter cleaner. And what a gutter cleaner does when he's cleaning the gutter is he inserts a piece of wood that pretty much blocks the gutter. And then there's no water on this side, and all the water's on that side. And so he starts cleaning. And later he will lift that up. And when he lifts it up, the water will flow again. And I thought to myself, what is the meaning of this? Because it had become sort of like something to think about. And I understood in this situation, that's what an obstacle does. It stops you there. And so all your eagerness, it's blocked. And so the water was building up and building up and building up and building up until the water was very deep, so deep it overflooded. But if you took the obstacle away, there was only a trickle of water. So sometimes Krishna will put an obstacle and you get an experience of what it was like, what it would be like to have deep love. But when the obstacle is removed, you say, oh, okay, thank you, no, it's okay. We go again to our lower level, which is our normal level. But the obstacle has given us a taste of something deeper and greater. Kali Krishna Prabhu, you had a question. The question was, is that forearm form of Alalanath, in Alalanath, for those who have not been there, it's about 1 hour from Jagannath Puri. And every year when the temple, when Lord Jagannath comes off the altar for being painted, Lord Chaitanya would feel so much separation from him that he would leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalanath. And there is a Narayan temple, forearm black form of Narayan. And the question was, is there a connection between that particular deity and Peta? And three people have brought this up to me today. And as I told you, I have been praying for days. What was it that I knew 11 years ago and I've forgotten? And I think perhaps this is it. This was the significance of this place. That Lord Chaitanya would go to Alalanath is the same as coming here to Peta. But because I haven't been meditating on that at this present moment, I cannot give you any further details. Perhaps, in fact, you can share something with us. So the Prabhu is sharing with us that he had read somewhere from Madhavananda Prabhu, who we can consult when we get back.
He has a whole magazine on this topic.
On this particular one. Peta. Okay, thank you very much. I knew there was something. I was absent. Thank you. So he will explain this very thoroughly because he's such a scholar and he loves to enter into these different places with the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. But that place is the same mood. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Alalanath deity, this is that forearm Narayan form that Krishna exhibited for the other devotees, other gopis, but he could not maintain in the presence of Srimati Radharani. So I will be very eager to hear more on that subject, and perhaps others can also ask Madhavananda Prabhu for some insights into this correlation between this place here in Vrindavan and the place in Jagannath Puri itself. But whether we know that connection fully at this time or not, we have been really fortunate to be able to come here in Vrindavan in this village atmosphere to this particular place and spend a little time. Put a little more water on your heads before you leave. It's always good for the soul. And put a little dust on your head as well. It's also very helpful. I must say, for those who don't know, that I was told one time, and it was so long ago, I can't remember who told me, but it was authoritative, that if you take some dust home with you from Vrindavan, and you take a little dust on your tongue every day, you will definitely come back to Vrindavan very soon. And I remember telling somebody that and they confirmed it. Yes.
I'd just like to ask you to tell us more about the Rasa Leela. Did it happen here or?
The Rasa Leela happened at a place called Parasoli, which is Peta. Chandra Sarovara, well, I'm not sure which direction exactly it's in, Parasoli, they're all in a line, and this is part of the outer, the greater Govardhan Parikrama path. There's an inner path, which is the one that we take, and then there's an outer Parikrama path. So between here and Aniyor is Chandra Sarovara and Parasoli. So that dance, it was very beautiful, no doubt. The Vasant Ras. I don't have off the top of my head, I can't remember a good reference to give you, but I'm sure there's something about it in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita.
Another question, I heard there's like a crane from where...
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, they also have said from a very long time that Peta, there is a cave here, no longer visible, no doubt, from which Krishna went into the cave and went underneath Govardhan Hill, and from there he lifted up the hill. And then he called everybody. Once he had lifted it up, then he told everybody, come, come, quickly, come, come. And he must have done that very, very quickly because the rain was pouring down, as we experienced in our japa retreat, when the rain is pouring down, you have to move very quickly. So that, yes, there was a cave here, and there's also one old kadamba tree, a very gnarled old kadamba tree that Krishna sat and swung with Srimati Radharani upon that tree. Factually speaking, all over Vrindavan, Krishna performed pastimes, and only very, very few of them are actually still known to the minds of pilgrims who come here. No longer accessible. Thank you.
We'll be finishing up now. Everyone can just pay their respects. When you come to a sacred place, the arrival and departure are both very important.